Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. So we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world.
Well, we multiplied, we needed more. The rich got rich, so the fuel ran scarce, the price jumped high, and so they gave nuclear power a try.
Yes, they did. They gave nuclear power a try, and what a mess it turned out to be. This is Harvey Wasserman back with the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Another scintillating hour of talk about nuclear power and getting rid of it, as well as all the other damage that's being done to our environment. We have two great guests today. Jen Miller, the head of the Sierra Club in Ohio, and Carolyn, you're with us from the Columbus, Ohio Bill of Rights group, is that right?
Yes.
Carolyn, and I'd like actually, Jen and Carolyn, if you'll both introduce yourselves. We have a policy, we have a policy here on the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I do not like to introduce my guests because I never do them justice. Carolyn, tell us a bit about yourself, what you do, your full name, and how to get in touch with you.
My name is Carolyn Harding. I am an organizer with the Columbus Community Bill of Rights, and you can reach us by emailing us at columbusbillofrights@gmail.com.
Now, Columbus Bill of Rights, that's Columbus, Ohio Bill of Rights. Most listeners who on this show know that I am in Central Ohio, where it's scenic. We're waiting for global warming to make Central Ohio an oceanside community. May take a little while, but who knows? But Carolyn, you do great work on the Columbus, Ohio Bill of Rights, which is going to the voters at some point, hopefully this fall. And it is a charter amendment designed to, well, you tell us, what's this charter amendment designed to do?
Well, it's an amendment to the Charter of Columbus, which is like the Constitution of Columbus. And it's a ballot initiative, so we will need to get 10% of the voters to sign it to get it on the ballot. But it is a Bill of Rights. It is a rights-based amendment saying we, the people of Columbus, we deserve our unalienable rights for clean water, clean air, safe soil, a right to renewable energy future, rights for the natural communities and the ecosystems in Columbus, and rights for peaceful enjoyment of our home. And then I'm sorry, go ahead.
And this is a prototype, really. And Carolyn, we're going to talk with you more the second half of the hour, because Jen Miller, who's here from the Sierra Club, is going to have to run. But you are on the show not only because I live in Columbus and we spoke together at the community festival over the weekend, a great community festival, but this is a national issue. This is having to do largely with fracking. Columbus, Ohio is a big city, and this Bill of Rights will have impact on fracking. That's part of its origin, and that's what we want to talk to you about. So, Carolyn, if you will stick with us, and through the end of the hour, I'm going to I wanted to alert folks that in the second part of the hour, we're going to be talking about this very important movement for a city to have its own Bill of Rights, and there are other cities around the country that have done something like this. Is that right, Carolyn?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So we will talk about that. But Carolyn, if you'll stay with us and pipe in whenever you feel the spirit, whenever the spirit moves you, as the Quakers would say. I want to turn now to Jen Miller. Jen, you have for a long time been the chapter director of the Central Ohio Sierra Club, or maybe I don't have that right. Tell us exactly who you are and what you're doing.
Great. Hi, thank you for having me, Harvey. It's nice to talk to you again. Can you hear me?
I can, indeed.
Great. Just wanted to make sure. So my name is Jen Miller. I've worked for the Sierra Club for 6 years. I started for 3 years as the primary lobbyist for the Sierra Club Ohio chapter, so all legislative and administrative advocacy issues at the state level for 3 years. Then I actually transitioned and did basically worked for the National Beyond Coal campaign, leading a lot of our energy efficiency and renewable energy efforts throughout the country, both legislative and administrative. And now I just took a position as the first ever director of the Sierra Club Ohio chapter. And I'm really glad to be here. I have my master's degree from the Ohio State Glenn School Public Affairs, and I have 20 years experience working on social justice and environmental justice issues. So I'm just super happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're a bit overqualified for this show, but we'll let you stay with us anyway. Tell us now, you and I and Carolyn, we all spoke at the community festival here in Central Ohio, one of the only community festivals in the country with no corporate sponsorship. It's a great thing to be able to walk around a community festival and not see corporate advertising. I love it. It's a wonderful festival, and we were honored to be there at the Solartopia tent talking about environmental issues. Let's start, Jen Miller, with the astonishing move of the Ohio legislature to repeal a law that put a standard for renewable energy on the books. Can you tell us about this horrifying development here in the state of Ohio?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's really important. And while this just might sound like it's Ohio, it certainly has national implications as well as international implications. First off, Ohio is the fourth largest greenhouse gas polluter in the country. If Ohio were its own country, it would rank 23rd in the world. So what happens in Ohio really matters to all of us in terms of global climate change. And of course, we all know that Ohio is a swing state. So what happens in Ohio is certainly important to where the nation may move in terms of clean energy policies.
When you say Ohio is a swing state, you mean it's sometimes it's gay and sometimes it's not?
Right.
Sorry about that. Okay, exactly. Go ahead. Keep going.
So obviously we just mean that it's critical in national elections, like presidential elections.
Right.
A little history. It passed in 2008 was an energy efficiency resource standard and a renewable portfolio standard. So the four major utilities in the state were required to invest in energy efficiency and renewable energy. That was done under a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature, where only one Republican voted against this these standards for efficiency and renewables. Since then, we've had actually really great success, and especially in the efficiency standard, we've made a lot of notable success and became a national leader in utility-run energy efficiency programs, and we have participated at the implementation of this before the Public Utilities Commission that just shows that these standards have saved customers massive amounts of money and have created significant amounts of jobs. These are pages after pages filed before the Public Utilities Commission and third-party verified, as well as verified by public interest groups like our own and the Ohio Consumers Council and others, just showing how good these programs were.
This kind of legislation has become a standard. Not quite standard, but certainly common all across the United States. So all these states that have green energy standards, renewable portfolio standards, energy efficiency standards, Ohio was just one of the many, but Ohio has now become the first to repeal you know, this is like outlawing the automobile in 1900. So tell us more, please, Jen.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point, Harvey. There are 26 states that have either an efficiency or renewable standard or have both. So this is very common. Most of these are very new, though there are some states like Iowa and Vermont and California who have been doing this work for a long time. So what has happened in this process is energy efficiency especially has always been seen as in really a bipartisan way. But this group called ALEC, and I'm sure some of you know this group, the American Legislative Exchange Council, has really wanted to attack the state-level energy efficiency and renewable energy standards. And if you don't know them, it's like a corporate dating service. It's a dating service for state legislators and corporations to get together and talk about all the things they want to do together, and they have very lavish conferences. These are also the folks that are behind the Stand Your Ground laws, many of the anti-union attacks we've seen, voter ID laws, many, many laws. Drilling in state parks, drilling in state lands, if you've seen any of those in the last decade, those were ALEC. So they've had their eye on this, and I actually worked with our lobbyists in my former role. I worked with our lobbyists across the country to defend our efficiency and renewable standard, and we have been successful in defending these repeals in Kansas and North Carolina and Nevada and a lot of places that might even seem more conservative than Ohio.
But Jen, these attacks and ALEC, this is basically a corporate juggernaut. This is the coal, oil, what I call King Kong, coal, oil, nukes, and gas industries attacking renewable energy and trying to repeal this inevitable and very powerful technological revolution that's occurring. And of course, the Koch brothers, who have huge fossil fuel interests, are pouring billions of dollars into this. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that the corporations are definitely behind this, and definitely are creating phony studies that say, you know, for example, in Nevada, we saw studies that said using renewable energy actually increases carbon output. Lots of crazy studies that make both energy efficiency and renewable energy look crazy expensive. Our experience in Ohio actually is that when a utility in Ohio invests in energy efficiency, it only costs about 1 cent per kilowatt hour, obviously significantly less than probably about a 10 cent per average per kilowatt hour bought by a customer. So, and we know that that 1 cent, when that's invested, or when $1 is invested in energy efficiency in the long term, it's saving $3.
How many jobs does it create?
It definitely creates more jobs than traditional coal or nuclear or gas. They're jobs in construction and in manufacturing, the exact kind of jobs that the heartland of the United States, like Ohio, really got hit, you know, and really lost a lot of those kinds of jobs in the recession. So there's a net increase of jobs right now in Ohio. There's more than 25,000 jobs in the clean tech industry, and that's a modest number. Just in contrast, the coal industry in Ohio has less than, you know, has about 3,000 jobs.
So are you telling me that there are more people now working in the solar, wind, and energy efficiency business than there are in the coal business in Ohio?
Yes. In fact, Ohio is number one in the wind manufacturing chain.
What?
Yeah, Ohio is number one. So and that's just because a lot of the facilities that maybe decreased output of automobile production actually are very easy to retool for renewable energy technologies, like ball bearings, for example, for a wind turbine. But just a little bit about this particular law. It's not, they don't call it a straight up repeal. And I would argue it's not a straight up repeal, but it is really pernicious and ugly. And I think any of you in any states where there are efficiency and renewable standards, there's lessons to be learned in Ohio, from Ohio. And I really hope you take them to your home states and learn from these lessons. So first off, they're just calling it a freeze. They're saying we're pausing implementation for 2 years so we can study this law. So So the problem with that, number one, is it's fully studied. This is studied significantly at the Public Utilities Commission, reviewed by third-party verifiers, reviewed by the Ohio Consumers Council, from low-income advocates throughout the state, from Sierra Club, NRDC, lots of environmental groups. So these are more than reviewed. The second part of this is they're deciding, before they find out what happens with the study, to quote-unquote freeze implementation, so stop all energy efficiency and renewable energy investments. Another problem with this is that these are these standards ramp up over time, so they start really small, and then they ramp up slowly but gradually to very big investments in efficiency and renewables and very big impacts, and it takes years to develop these utility programs. So just stopping them in their tracks will likely mean that we will see, in fact, we will see a loss in jobs, like energy auditors, when someone comes to a business or a house to see how leaky it is and what could be done. Those kinds of jobs will see an immediate loss. It also means that we will stop the progress in terms of rolling out these really great programs that Sierra Club actually worked a lot on. Another issue is that it really guts it because it changes what counts towards the renewable standard and the efficiency standard, and we'll see how this actually gets implemented. But I can tell you that what counts now towards the efficiency standard is that a utility has to have skin in the game, right? So they have to work with a customer. You know, they have to provide a low-cost audit. They have to provide incentives for new equipment or new appliances or for, you know, various weatherization of the home or business, new lighting, things like that, incentives or discounts. And then they get to count the energy savings. Now the way this would count, even if it comes back in 2 years, any federal lighting standard improvement, any time a refrigerator standard, in refrigerators are a great example of something that's gotten more and more efficient over time, all of those kinds of federal standards that improve efficiency of products, they'll be able to count. But not only will they be able to count them, they could potentially get shareholder incentives on them. So once we let everything count like that, there'll be significantly less investments in efficiency, we believe. In addition, we have new things that count in terms of renewables. And again, it just depends on how this law gets interpreted, but it's very likely that Canadian hydro will count, which will just obliterate the renewable standards.
All right. So the bottom line, Jen, here, Jen Miller of the Ohio Sierra Club, is why are the corporations wanting to roll back energy efficiency and renewable energy? What is their problem?
I think that, you know, I think there's a couple different issues. I think that the senator who sponsored this legislation, Senator Seitz, who heads up the Senate Public Utility Committee, is on the ALEC board, and I think he wanted to have his state be the first to successfully, if not repeal, at least successfully gut the efficiency and renewable standards, and I think that ALEC will be looking at the lessons in Ohio and try to replicate them other places. So I think he had a different kind of vision for this, but the utilities, it's really about the fact that they make more money when they sell power from their coal, nuclear, or gas plant, then if they have to partner with customers on reducing energy use, or they have to partner with customers that have solar panels on their homes, or farmers that have wind turbines on their land to buy that power. So even though efficiency and renewables are for us, and even though, actually, utilities make somewhat of a shareholder incentive, they make a lot more money when they stick with these old, dirty sources.
Well, we're talking with Jen Miller, the chapter director of the Ohio Sierra Club, about the astonishing repeal of Ohio's green energy law. How did they pull this off? I mean, tell us about the Ohio legislature and what can we expect in other legislatures around the world, around the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really great question. So first off, all of the major corporations really upped their game in donating, right? So they were giving a lot more campaign contributions. And most of our efficiency and renewables businesses are just, they're mom and pop companies. They cannot compete with these deep pockets. So one way was just straight up, it was absolutely about green. It just wasn't about green energy. It was about cash and the cash that was flowing from the King Kong folks, if you will. Secondly, I would say that they actually, I mean, straight up, they used a lot of misinformation. They continued to say that shale gas development was a game changer in the state of Ohio. But actually what we've seen in the state of Ohio is that we don't have nearly the reserves that we thought we'd had, and that's actually been shown throughout the country that there's been significant overestimates of the reserves that we have, and the EIA, the Energy Information Agency, continues to downgrade the amount of natural gas that is available. And it's certainly true in Ohio, where BP and Antwerp and others are selling off their assets because they're finding that the rigs are actually dry, the wells are actually dry. So one was that this is a game changer because we have so much of it in Ohio. The other part was they were saying that natural gas is so cheap, so we didn't need to do energy efficiency or renewables. A challenge with that, actually, is, if you look at the EIA numbers, natural gas prices have doubled, more than doubled, in the last 6 months. So it's really not that cheap, and it's never, even at its cheapest moment, been less expensive than energy efficiency. Energy efficiency still remains the cheapest. So those were really two of the biggest talking points. They continued to talk about how they were concerned about customers and the economic development of the state. And that was just a grand irony because on the opponents of this bill, basically those advocating for efficiency and renewables, alongside us public interest groups like the Sierra Club and NRDC and Ohio Environmental Council, we had folks like the Ohio Consumers Council, a lot of different churches and faith groups, the NAACP, the legal aid groups. You know, so we basically had all of the consumer advocates on our side, as well as the small business majority, the Advanced Energy Economy Group, which is a whole bunch of clean tech businesses, and even the Ohio Manufacturing Association were all saying that actually efficiency and renewables were a good thing for Ohio and that the law should not be changed.
Mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling how they pulled this off. And what we now expect, of course, people listening in from all over the country, is that ALEC, the corporate front group, or the front for the large corporations for King Kong, coal, oil, nukes, and gas, will be going at the 24 or so other renewable portfolio standards, energy efficient incentive laws, and so on in other states. Jen, it's really very disturbing, and it's sad to see here in Ohio. And where do you think they're going to hit next?
Well, first, just I don't know where they'll hit next, but the things you should be aware of are when they say they want to study these laws or that they want to freeze them, we should be aware of those things. Any kind of talking about freedom, right? So the initial ALEC law that they tried to get passed in many places and we kept defeating was a freedom, Energy Freedom Act or Electricity Freedom Act. So anything that sounds really innocuous like that is something that you all should watch for, as well as just changing what counts. So putting in there Canadian Hydro, for example, will obliterate probably almost every renewable portfolio standard in the country, allowing for federal lighting standards to count. Just what counts as efficiency in renewables is something that everyone should watch for. And just know that what works is, and everyone thought we were going to lose this battle quickly, and in fact, it took a long time.
How long, and how did you drag it out?
It took a year and a half, 2 years, almost 2 years, and I believe that they thought it would be done in months. And we basically just kept bringing the most sophisticated arguments we could make. on economics. There was a lot of good business voices that came out, as I mentioned. Lots of faith groups came out. So I think a really strong coalition. We also, every newspaper in the state had, you know, every major newspaper in the state, I should say, had ed board, you know, had editorials that were very strong in favor of keeping efficiency and renewable standards as they were. So we were just able to really create a much more sophisticated argument than I think they expected. So even though the leadership and the deep pockets wanted to get this done, it took them years. And I actually think the fact that it took years is also helpful for other states, because I think they will really be trying to figure out if they want to expend that kind of political capital again. So, you know, that's just a side note. Now, and would you like to know what we're up to next?
Please tell us. And you got about 5 minutes until the break. If you want to stay a little bit afterwards and talk with Carolyn, that'd be great. But let's hear, what is the Ohio Sierra Club working on now?
Right. So we're continuing to work on a wide range of things. One of the things that all of these utilities that continue to say, hey, we don't need a renewable standard and we don't need an efficiency standard because the market works, those utilities are now asking or getting ready to ask the Public Utility Commission of Ohio to bail out coal plants. So coal plants are so
old. I love it.
Old.
I love it. So they want to cut off renewables, but they want to subsidize coal.
Exactly. That's exactly.
And that, of course, is also going on all over the country. I assume the Ohio Sierra Club is working in concert with the National Sierra Club. And we know that the Koch brothers and these other King Kong corporations have no shame. So what you're saying is, in the process of slashing support for renewable energy, they're asking for subsidies for stuff that destroys the planet, right?
Yeah, not only stuff that destroys the planet, but a lot of these coal plants are 50, 60, 70 years old. So they're old, they're dirty, they're expensive to run. They're by far not state-of-the-art equipment as we have now with wind or solar or the various energy efficiency technologies. So they're really asking that customers pay to keep these coal plants online. And they're not even saying that it's a reliability concern. They're just saying that they need to stay online or they're going to shut down. And they think that somehow this will stabilize prices. But just one deal alone that's before the Public Utilities Commission from AEP is estimated to cost $117 million for every customer in AEP's territory. Every customer would pay that $117 million, and probably after this deal goes through in 3 years, they'll just keep renewing that. So millions, if not billions of dollars that Ohio customers are going to have to pay just for dirty coal. So paying more for dirty energy, basically.
And who is supporting this? Of course, the utilities and the Chamber of Commerce, I assume, and the usual suspects.
Actually, so this is interesting. Really, it's just the utilities. And there's one industrial group that's come out in support of these deals. However, they say they also shouldn't have to pay for them.
Interesting.
So they're saying they should happen and other customers should pay for them, but they shouldn't have to. But most groups are absolutely against this. So this is our fight now, because the thing we know about utility efforts is that when a dollar gets spent one place, it gets diverted another. And so while we are hoping to really influence this two-year process with the efficiency and renewable standards and still try to get those back where they are, we can't let go of processes before the Public Utilities Commission. This one's a rate case, so this is a chance for us to argue that what's best for ratepayers is not to keep investing in these old coal plants, but instead to keep up investments in efficiency and renewables because they're cheaper.
Well, duh. So that's keep up the good work on that front, Jen Miller. That's astounding. I got to say, I flew into Columbus from Washington the other day and flew over West Virginia. It looks like a desert. I mean, they're blasting the whole state to get at this coal, this mountaintop removal. It's catastrophic. It's apocalyptic. And here we have the state of Ohio and so many other states around the country that are going to be pushing to defund renewable energy, defund increased efficiency and put taxpayer money not only into coal plants, but they're also doing it for nuclear plants. I know, especially in Illinois, there are a number of nuclear plants that are about to shut. And in the name of global warming, which is insane, the corporations have gone into the Illinois legislature and into the feds and demanded subsidies to keep these ridiculous old power plants running. We've been talking with Jen Miller. We're going to be joining Carolyn Harding. Jen, you're welcome to stay with us. Give us your website real quick.
Yeah, well, you can find us all over the web. Just know that we're Ohio Sierra Club. So you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, so all throughout. But OhioSierraClub.org.
And, of course, what you're doing in Ohio is happening all over the country, and we're proud to have you leading the chapter here. As I say, you can stay. We're going to have a break now with my buddy Dana Lyon singing the Rocky Top version of the solar energy song, and we'll be right back in about 3 minutes with Carolyn Harding.
Coal plants, new plants, oil refineries, pipelines, mega dams. Iran, Iraq, Russia, Nigeria, Venezuela, Kurdistan. Suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam, road rage, asthma, famine, leukemia. It's time to get a better plan. Solartopia is home sweet home to me. Solartopia, that's the future for me. Green powered energy. Photovoltaic cells with solar panels everywhere. Solar cars, fast trains, bicycles, hydroplanes get you home in under an hour. Clean air, water, rooftop gardens, tidal geothermal power. Family, community, healthy children, and lots of forest for the bears.
That's my buddy Dana Lyons. We are back with the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Dana is of Cows with Guns fame. Several million viewers on Cows with Guns. Go look at it. It's fantastic. The anthem of the vegan movement, I guess you'd call it. We're on the second half of the show. We've been talking with Jen Miller. Jen of the head of, whoop, I think Jen hung up. Carolyn Harding, are you with us?
If you'd like to make a call.
Oh, what's that all about? Somebody had a misconnect. Carolyn Harding, are you with us, or we just lose you here on the phone? Jen Miller, are you with us? Okay, so we're going to wait for Carolyn Harding to call back in. It's astonishing what's happened here in Ohio, and you guys all listening in got to understand that the corporations hate renewable energy. They hate Solartopia. They, you know, this is King Kong, coal, oil, nukes, and gas. They have billions of dollars. They're out there protecting their interests in coal, oil, nukes, and gas. They don't want us to have renewables. They don't want us. I love how the Koch brothers say that they're against taxes. They're generically against taxes, allegedly. But they love to tax renewables. There are Arizona, for example, is confronting a tax. The legislature is trying to put through a tax that would make it very difficult to have renewable energy to put solar panels on your rooftop. And at this point in time, they are wanting to charge people – a tax to put a solar panel on your rooftop, on the argument, I mean, I can be begin to describe any kind of intellectual argument that would justify taxing people for putting solar panels on their rooftops. But they are trying to do it in Arizona, and they're trying to do it in other states. Clearly, they are terrified of the progress of solartopian energy, of renewable energy that would undercut the power of the utilities to monopolize our energy supply. And so in here in Ohio, as you heard from Jen Miller of the Sierra Club, we had a pretty powerful state law that incentivized renewable energy, that led to quite a few billion dollars being invested in wind power and in solar energy, thousands of jobs, more people working in the renewable energy industry in Ohio than in coal and in oil in Ohio. And very, very successful, tremendous for the environment, tremendous for the employment picture, good for the economy, all that great stuff that we're predicting would be the reality for renewable energy. And ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a front group for the huge billionaire interests, coal, oil, nukes, and gas, the Koch brothers, got that bill repealed. And that's what we heard about from Carolyn, from Jen Miller at the Sierra Club. We're now rejoined by Carolyn Harding of the Columbus, Ohio Bill of Rights. Carolyn, are you, can we hear you?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
We can indeed. Okay. So now I heard you loud and clear. We had a wonderful panel at the Columbus, Ohio Community Festival, and you are a prime mover and shaker in the campaign for a Bill of Rights in Columbus, Ohio, America's test market, that has to do with fracking. And we went through the whole first half hour without mentioning fracking, but now we have to come to fracking and deal with it. So tell us, Carolyn Harding, about fracking in Ohio, and what is entailed with this movement, which will obviously spread to other cities and counties around the country to deal with fracking in Central Ohio, this Bill of Rights.
Okay, Harvey, hi, Jen. What happened was 2 years ago, I was working, doing research for a radio show and started reading about fracking and the amount of water that was needed to frack a well, and then started going to workshops and rallies and learning more and more, and realized that I needed to do something because I'm very protective of my state of Ohio and I didn't want our water to be depleted or turned toxic. So I did like a lot of people are doing. I did a online petition, the people of Ohio ban fracking and toxic injection wells. Because not only is the fracking happening, but the waste of fracking is huge. There's liquid water waste, and then there's also solid dirt waste. And
all right, well, tell us a little bit about, first of all, I'm sure most of our listeners know what fracking is, but you just pro forma, in any exercise like this, you have to explain fracking. So tell us briefly what fracking is and where all this waste comes from and why it's bad. But tell us just what the process of fracking is. Start with that.
Okay. The process of fracking, the term fracking comes from hydraulic fracturing, and it's the process to get natural gas from shale deposits deep in the earth. And it's a relatively, fracturing's been done for about 80 years, but this is a new technique where they go down vertically with drills, and then the drill bore turns horizontally and goes straight through the shale level, or I don't really know what to call it, but the shale source, and keeps drilling, oftentimes up to a mile or 2 miles. And then they send down a great bore, they send down explosives that actually go into the shale and crack the shale, which releases then the natural gases that come back up. And a lot of folks like to say, oh, we've been fracking for a long time. Well, we haven't been doing horizontal, high-volume horizontal fracturing for very long at all. And it takes a massive amount of water, fresh water, 5 to 8 million gallons each time they fracture a well. And they can fracture a well, you know, up to 10 times, maybe more. And so each time they fracture a well, it takes 5 million gallons of good water, and they have to put chemicals in, so this, you know, technical process will, you know, actually benefit the, get the natural gas out. And in these chemicals, although it is a small percentage of the water, it has carcinogens, neurotoxins, and endocrine disruptors, which are very, very dangerous for anyone who would get close to this water. And then on top
okay.
of that...
Carolyn, you've got some feedback on your phone. If you can get somewhere more stable, maybe that will be helpful. I don't know if you're walking around or got a problem with it, but if you can stay... If you can stay steady, that'd be great. Okay, go ahead. Proceed.
Okay. So a lot of folks that were really concerned about fracking got involved because they were really concerned about the water. Because not only do they use this water and they render it toxic, the shale, the black shale of the Utica and the Marcellus shale, is naturally radioactive with radium-226. And so when they fracture these shales, and the water comes back up, it's infused with the radium-226. And so this water, not all of the water stays under the ground. A great portion of it comes back up. And then they have to find a suitable place to put this very, very hazardous waste. And Ohio has been doing all kinds of back bends to provide ease for the industry, and they've changed a lot of our legislation to make it easy to get rid of this toxic waste. So Ohio is becoming almost like a destination for the shale gas waste of Pennsylvania and of West Virginia, and our Ohio Department of Natural Resources has made about $3 million in the past, I think it was last year, in permits. And on frack wells and also injection wells of this waste. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because along with the all this water that's toxic and radioactive, the actual solid waste is hugely toxic. And even the drill cuttings that are used just to drill the borehole out, the vertical down and then the horizontal with the shale, oftentimes is highly radioactive. And Ohio legislator back in last spring, they redefined what drill cuttings were. In all other states and all other regulatory agencies, drill cuttings are termed T-norm.
They're termed what? What's the word?
T-norm.
Spell that.
Technically enhanced radio... T-norm. Technically enhanced. I'm just blanking for a second.
All right, but
norm,
it's radioactive.
Norm is naturally occurring radioactive material. Norm is. And T-norm is technically enhanced naturally occurring radioactive material. So instead of being labeled as what it is, radioactive, and we need to regulate it, they redefined it as norm, so they don't have to regulate it at all. So now all this solid waste can be dumped in municipal landfills anywhere in Ohio without...
Well, anywhere in the country. I mean, this is a national issue. That's one of the reasons we're talking about it. It's a national show. And
right.
The fracking is going on all over the world, really. My understanding also is that fracking, when they inject all these liquids into the ground and bust up the shale to get the natural gas, they also create more earthquakes. And I actually read, and you can tell me if this is credible, recently I read that there is now more seismic activity, more earthquake activity in Oklahoma than there is in California because of the fracking going on there. Is that a possibility?
It's not just a possibility. It's proven. I mean, it's been tested, scientifically tested by geologists. And in Ohio, we've had earthquakes from fracking itself, the the fracturing of the shale, and we've also had earthquakes from injection wells. So it's a huge, huge bad thing for Ohio.
And for the country. And so now, tell
us,
we have less than 15 minutes left. Tell us now what the citizens of Ohio, and we hope citizens all over the country will take notice here, what the citizens of Ohio, central Ohio, are trying to do about fracking.
Okay, so what I did was I committed to these folks that signed this, 2,000 folks, Ohio folks, signed this petition. I said, I'm going to go hand-deliver this to all our lawmakers. So within the year, I visited and hand-delivered this petition to all our lawmakers, Democrat and Republican alike, and I was really clear after that that our legislators were going to do nothing to protect the local communities from this waste and from the devastations of actual fracking. So when I was very clear about that, I was talking with other concerned citizens, and this one nonprofit law organization called Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, and their abbreviation is CELDEF.org, kept coming up. So I looked into them, and I noticed that they offered a democracy school in, it was in Yellow Springs, Ohio, so I signed up. And basically, it was like a history weekend telling us and helping us see how our democracy has often always favored those who have money and those who have power and land, and that it's not necessarily that we're not doing enough, but that our law is protecting the corporations' interests over the communities and people. So I knew that we probably needed to work with CELDEF in Columbus. At that time, I didn't really know if there was anything going on in Columbus. I was concerned about it in Ohio and about the country, and also reading about it in Australia and Africa and Romania. But just last late summer, they let us, one of the activists, Teresa Mills, she is the godmother of Ohio and fractivist, and she...
Oh, that's a cute term. I like that term, fractivist, F-R-A-C... T-I-V-I-S-T, and you are, of course, a fractivist. That's someone who's opposing
fracking.
Yes,
I am a grassroots fractivist.
Okay, so listen, we have 12 minutes, Carolyn. Tell us exactly what this Bill of Rights is and what it does.
Okay. The Bill of Rights is a rights-based charter amendment. It has to be voted on by the people of a municipality, and it has to go on a ballot initiative, so we need to get around 10,000 valid signatures of people that support local control over oil and gas in our community, the rights for the unalienable rights of pure water, clean air, safe soil, and the rights to a renewable energy future. And it's easy to sell that. People really do stand for that. So once we get this passed, then any offending corporation that comes in and, you know, their pollution, their frack waste, their pipelines, all anything that has to do with that industry will be illegal. And it's not a ban. Because right now Ohio has complete jurisdiction over frack wells, frack...
The state of Ohio. And we've heard in the first
state of Ohio.
Part of the show how enlightened the legislature is, having just become made themselves the first state legislature to repeal a renewable energy standard. Now this state legislature, which is owned and operated by the corporations, you say is in control of the fracking regulations. So what you're trying to do then is to put into the Columbus, Ohio charter, a constitution, restrictions that will allow the public to control fracking. Is that a fair characterization of what you're trying to do?
That's fair, yes. And
now,
it's not
if people want to do something the same as this, who are listening all over the country, where do they go? What website do they go to see the prototype that you've got?
They go to CELDEF. C as in cat, E as in elephant, L as in love, D as in dog, and F as in Frank, CELDEF.org, and they will be
helped. Sounds like a rock band.
Yes, great. They're a wonderful organization. And they worked really hard in regulation before, and they found it didn't stop the offending corporation. But the rights-based charter amendments or ordinances that have been passed have really been effective. And there will be lawsuits, and there will be big pushback. But then these lawsuits are shown to be fighting against the rights, inalienable rights of this community, which is pure water, clean air, safe soil, the rights for a sustainable, renewable future, renewable energy future.
Well, you sound like some kind of communist. So, okay. So, Central Ohio, what you got to do is you got to get this X number of signatures to put this on the ballot, and then the town, the city of Columbus, can vote on it. And I assume this can be done in other communities around the country. Is that right?
Yes. Other communities right here in Ohio, Broadview Heights, Cleveland, they had oil wells in people's backyards. They had got Tish O'Dell got tired of it, and she got a charter amendment in Broadview Heights, and no more wells have been drilled.
Now, how effective has it been? Has it actually done the job?
It's done the job, but they are constantly, the corporations are very upset with it, and they are trying to sue them to put more wells in. But the nice thing about CellDep, it is a legal organization, and they are helping. They help groups that go through this process, and they help you legally.
All right, so we have 5 minutes. Are you thousands of people listening in? If you've got fracking going on in your community, you need to look at the CellDef website and see what this community ordinance is. Well, a constitutional amendment, basically, being pushed in Central Ohio, the test market for the world, and try and do what needs to be done here to stop this. So, Carolyn, how many signatures do you have? How many do you need? What's the deal?
Well, we just kicked off on Friday at the community festival in Columbus, and with 3 days, we got 600 signatures, and we need relatively at least 8,000 more. So we need lots of people who are concerned to help us go and get signatures. But I wanted to say one thing else, Harvey, and that is CellDef works with all kinds of offending corporations, not just fracking, but factory farms and water companies that want to withdraw water from communities that don't want the water withdrawn. So it's about local control, and it's about people taking back their democracy. And we've all been defaulting for too long. We have to wake up because toxic radioactive waste is flooding into Ohio, and I'm not willing to let that happen. I am not willing to let that happen.
All right, so you're out there gathering signatures, hopefully you'll be on the fall ballot. But is there any support from any politician for this community bill of rights?
Not yet, but we just kicked it off on Friday, literally. And we are not aiming for this November. We are aiming for next May. However, if there's a miracle and we get 10,000 signatures, then it'll go on by August 1st. I think it's a real far chance. It's not a chance, really, to get it on this November. I think we're going to aim for May.
All right, and maybe you'll be right up there with the legalized medical marijuana folks and the legalized hemp folks.
Yes.
Carolyn Harding, we certainly appreciate your fantastic efforts along this, and we really wish you great luck with this. And all you folks listening around the country, take a look. Again, spell out that website. It's a little hard to.
It's CELDEF.
Okay.
CELDEF.
Charlie, Edward, Larry, David, Frank, right?
Let me just say it. It's Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund.
All right, we like that. And this Bill of Rights in Columbus, Ohio, we hope goes all over the country. Fracking, though, the most devastating thing about fracking is that it actually threatens nuclear plants. I mean, we have two horrible nuclear reactors in Ohio up on the lake, and they are both suffering from the possibility of earthquakes, which are being made more likely by fracking.
Right.
Talk
right.
about negative synergy, man. That's the be-all and end-all. So, Carolyn, thank you so much for being with us. This has been Carolyn Harding, and before her, Jen Miller from the Ohio Sierra Club. It's always good to do your radio show from America's Test Market, the heart of it all. And we without people like Carolyn and Jen here carrying on the torch, Ohio would be even more of a dead zone than it already is. So thank you so much, Carolyn Harding. We're going to be back again next week, hopefully with good news about the circulation of petitions. Carolyn, keep us informed about how many signatures you get. And we will come back next week with more of this on the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. This has been Harvey Wasserman. Thank you so much to the crew in New York, as always, and for all of you listening in to www.prn.fm. Let's hope that we can restore these renewable portfolio standards in Ohio and around the country, because that attack is going to go on where you know, in your state, in all the states, the renewable energy business is just under attack, but winning wholeheartedly. Take a quick look at a movie I saw, Revenge of the Electric Car. It's on Amazon and all that stuff, Netflix. And we'll see you again next week, everybody, in a Solartopian world. Take care.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.